massive monitor array kind of blocks three of my speakers in here.
You mean it's not audio transparent?
No, surprisingly, LCD panels do not allow sound to go through them. Who knew?
I think you need a better one then that does.
I couldn't afford it. Nah. Look, I got basically bevel-less or bezel-less.
All right, I'm trying to drink this.
All right.
Should I be...
It's quite tasty.
Jump in?
Yeah. Right.
It's got a very tropical taste.
It is 100% Central American.
Okay. It seems kind of rum-like to me.
Yes, there is a rum in here.
Well, I'm not sure what all the different fruits are.
One fruit.
I'm terrible at picking out fruits.
It's just one fruit.
Just one fruit?
I had never had this fruit before.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's
some sort of citrus fruit then, I think.
I guess.
Along the orange or grapefruitish sort of family? No?
I don't think so. It's genuinely not something we have here, so it's kind of hard to... I have never had one of these. It's an aged rum.
An aged rum.
Minimum 7 years aged rum. That I am unclear on the exact legality, so that's what it is. An aged rum.
So there may be pirates involved, is what you're saying.
I'm just saying that yar.
Okay.
And shiver me timbers. Also, the fruit is something that Erica discovered in Costa Rica called guanabana.
Okay.
Not
Now that sounds illegal.
No, it's very common, I guess, just not in the U.S. Also known as soursop.
Soursop?
Sop.
Sop.
Soursop, one word.
Sour, okay.
This also, is all... also known as custard apple.
That doesn't sound as tasty.
When you taste it, it's kind of
I like custard and I like apple, but I don't want some hybridization of those two things.
Think of this, just imagine custard with like a light citrus fruit, and that kind of is the flavor profile of this.
Well, all right. It is very tasty. I could drink a lot of it. I can taste the alcohol, but not, can't really taste the alcohol.
There's a decent amount, but yeah, I mean, it's rum. It's not like the craziest alcohol in the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, minimum 7 year aged. Very interesting for when I try it on my own, it just doesn't taste like rum. It's just because it's aged, it has much more depth of flavor and doesn't have the, that sugary base rum flavor that you'd expect. Yeah. So when I was looking at it, because Erica brought it back for me, and I was like, what can we do with this? And then she's like, I found this fruit. I really want to see if they sell a juice of it. And I was like, I think this is a match made in heaven. And it is.
It's very good.
Yeah, so now we need to name this drink. This is a legit drink.
I'm terrible at this.
So, I've been thinking about it, and I don't think I have the name, but I thought maybe it would be some primers.
Okay. What are you thinking? What path are you going down here?
The one I'm going for that kind of melts a little bit of everything is... It's an aged rum.
Okay.
And it's from Central America.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going with the Elder Centrist.
Elder Centrist?
Centrist. I don't like
that
Centrist.
That sounds terrible. Aww. That sounds like somebody who's been in the Senate for 30 years.
Yeah, I know. It was a little too political.
It's very political sounding.
Well, all right. What do you got? The Elder Central American?
Oh, the... Call it the old CA.
The old CA.
Yeah. This is your buddy. Hey, it's old CA.
I like old CA better than the old CA.
Okay, we can do that. We can lose the.
Drop the, just call it Facebook.
Yes.
Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are?
S. Michael Smith, and you are?
M. Michael Carassi. Not the record of the longest time without an intro, so.
You keep track of that, huh?
Not scientifically.
Well, this is a very tasty concoction you made. I am a fan of Old CA here.
Old CA. I have another can of juice upstairs. Unfortunately, it's riddled with... It's Goya. Like the only ones who sell it. So it's like riddled
with,
high fructose corn syrup.
Well, okay. That's probably true.
Yeah. No, it is. We looked because Erica was like, this isn't just the juice. But
So your wife got back from Costa Rica.
She survived.
Had a good time. She survived. As far as you know, no Zika virus is coming back with her.
No symptoms. She's been back for
She's not going to, like, Zika-fy the neighborhood or anything. I don't know how that works. I
think it works like the zombie plague, but maybe.
That's what I thought, based on, you know, what I read on the internet.
Where are you? Are you reading this on Breitbart?
Among other
places. That's the problem. Don't. Smike, you need to be more responsible about where you get your zombie information. You know, it is the civic duty of every American to be up on all of the facets of the zombie apocalypse, and you need to be reading liberal and conservative takes thereof.
Fine. I'll try to expand my knowledge of the other Z virus.
You know, actually, that would be really fun to, like, cut a bunch of, like, political clips, but just relabel everything as, like, being about zombies. Like, all the debating and all the anger everyone has, just make it about zombies. I feel like that's a thing that,
yeah.
If zombies weren't so played out, it would be more.
So you got Pride and Prejudice and zombies, and then C-SPAN and zombies.
Right. and Glenn Beck and the Undead.
Perhaps zombies taking the floor to filibuster something. Filibustering while being attacked by zombies. I think that has to be in there. That has to be in there.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I will not be silenced. I am bleeding to death. I am dead brains. You did not watch Pride and Prejudice and Zombies with your wife, right?
I did. No, I did.
It had moments.
It was all right. It was a fun movie.
It was trying too hard to be like true to Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah.
And then they really had invested a lot of trying to make. I mean, I get the book. It must be the book is like this, but they like tried to really invest in the zombie, making the zombies organically part of the world.
Yeah, that got kind of weird.
It got muddled and kind of strange, and I was like, you probably should have just picked one and just made it shorter. You know?
Yeah. So the whole thing with the pig brain stuff, it was just kind of
very, it's really convoluted. It's convoluted.
Yeah.
But it was Pride and Prejudice. That was the weird thing. It's like, there was a lot of Pride and Prejudice in there. Like, way more than really should have been, I think. And that would have made it shorter.
But yeah.
It is what it is.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think you guys are right. I think Hardcore Henry, the action in Hardcore Henry was so hardcore that the action in that, albeit with incredibly hot chicks, still didn't quite hold a candle. Like, in Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yeah. So, that's the other movie we saw recently, Hardcore Henry.
And I want to talk a lot about that.
Okay.
I do not have the Firefly loot crate that we were going to unbox.
Oh, well.
It's been delayed.
That's fine. Like, extensively. We got other stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I know. I'm bummed. Because I got the space right here. Curio. That's right there. That space.
You've carved out a little bit.
I've carved out a space for my next mini master of Wash. My favorite character from the show. I don't really fucking know where he is. China. Not made yet. The plastic hasn't cooled. I'm my damn mini master. Look at that Kaylee. She's so cute with her umbrella. All right, anyway.
So, hardcore. Do you want to jump into Hardcore Henry?
What an incredible experience that movie is. Like, I really think that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was, you hear about it and you read about it and you're like, this looks gimmicky.
Yeah.
And to an extent, I guess it is.
But I think it has to intrinsically be.
Yeah.
It like can't not be somewhat gimmicky.
Yes. More innovative than gimmicky, would you say?
Yes, and to an extent that when we watched some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, it was far more innovative than I realized. And innovative in a way that, like, used existing technology. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes. No, it was not just a case of, oh, let's duct tape a GoPro to this guy's head and make a movie.
I think they kind of tried that at first, but it did not work at all.
But the amount of testing and
ingenuity
and engineering,
yeah,
and literally like manufacturing all these different kinds of
head mounts,
rigging and pieces, and just trying all these different techniques. A lot of work went into this,
and they actually have a marketable extreme sports head mount now.
Yeah, well, good. Yeah, good for them.
They developed a magnetic, like, it's a stabilization system for a GoPro that uses magnets. And it actually, this is what I really thought was cool, was that it mounts at the chin level. Because when they did testing, they found that, you know, you always think about strapping to the forehead, but it's right. too high to get a sense of the person's body. Right. So to see the body and get that sense, because that actually helps, by the way, I was doing some reading on this, that helps a bit with the motion sickness thing.
Oh.
Being able to see the arms to some degree tricks the brain.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, it's me.
Huh.
Somehow.
You That's know what
cool. I mean? Yeah. Because it really wasn't that bad. I mean, even your wife. Who
it
has...
wasn't that bad. Yeah. And my wife did, she managed to sit through it without, you know, retching.
Which, I mean, given if she is prone to motion sickness.
She is prone to motion sickness.
It's pretty impressive.
Yes. I don't know how it would have been in a theater. That would have been.
That might have been a bit much. I thought the smaller
I'd go
screen...
for it. I mean, I would
Oh,
definitely...
I would too, but we don't have the same vestibular issues.
Yeah. One of the standout things, aside from, do you want to talk about technology? Or do you want to talk about Copley?
let's finish the big technology.
Part. Okay.
Because to me the most shocking thing of all was, literally the most shocking thing about the production, was that they tested a bunch of high end cameras, and they all had rolling shutter.
Yeah. Now, can you explain this, because it's still a little bit fuzzy for me.
I'm gonna
and
do
even
a
even
really
though
bad
when
job.
We saw the comparisons of it, I wasn't quite clear on it.
From what I understand, because there's so much movement and panning, like just by nature of being strapped to someone's chin,
mm-hmm.
right? The camera's constantly whipping around and going back and forth. And most like movie cameras are meant to be on a dolly, on a track,
right.
very stabilized.
Right.
And so when they're whipping around, what happens is there's an inherent distortion. I think it's called rolling shutter. Where and the image they show was the van. And if you remember, the van was like, it was just a van.
Yeah.
But it was like stretched and sort of disfigured a bit.
So there's a blurring effect.
It wasn't a blurring. It was a disfigurement. It was a stretching. Like the way the frames were captured was not in a correct sequence. It was distorted
okay.
slightly from frame to frame. And all these high-end cameras did that because they're not intended for that level of movement.
Right.
And what they did, what the filmmakers discovered was a solid GoPro, and in their own words, they said, this camera is made for this exact thing. We're doing, like, this is putting it on stunt guys doing parkour.
Yeah.
And they found that GoPro was a very good camera, and it was the only camera that worked for what they were doing. And that was shocking, because they tested some very high-end cameras. They were naming some very expensive cameras,
mm-hmm.
and they went with the GoPro. And then they had and then most of the work went into engineering, how to fuck to get it on a stunt guy. And not have it, like, be all over the fucking place. And then they developed the action helmet. I don't know. They had some weird name for it. But they're selling it now. So, yeah. And, the practical effects. It was mostly practical effects.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting because this was, like, this wasn't just a bunch of guys. This was, like, a legitimate film crew.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of young guys.
But people who had worked in film before mm-hmm. and are used to working with... a camera
yeah.
on a dolly
on a controlled camera, set yeah. Yeah.
and you know they actually did have the camera director guy
DP?
What's his name
yeah. director of photography
yeah
yeah
and he was talking about I think he was speaking Russian but
yeah they translated it yeah
but he was talking about how people would come up to him and they're like, what are you guys doing here? We're shooting a film. And you're like, well, where's your camera? They're like, oh, it just walked away. It'll be back here in a few minutes.
It's taking a piss. You could probably watch it. But no, I mean, I have experience there. And maybe you do too. Have you ever filmed a commercial? Like a full-blown production?
Not on site, if that's what you mean.
Okay. So I did the depression study. The Praxis commercial I shot years ago was like... legit, way too many people on set kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what they had was a huge Hollywood-sized camera. And they needed a good camera because they were doing lots of smoke and low lighting and all this kind mm-hmm. of stuff for this I'm depressed look. But what they had was, and I kept getting distracted by watching it, was the DP was right in front of me filming. And then there was this thick bundle of cabling coming off the camera. And then the director... was in another room, like I could see him around the corner watching everything live.
Right.
On the monitor. So like instead of, it was like dailies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which they didn't have.
No.
They could instantly pull the card, of course, and review it. So, but it was very interesting for even this drug ad. They had like a DP dedicated to shooting and then they had the director, he'd come and be like, okay, I was watching and can you run your hair slightly differently? I'd be like, I'm getting paid $800 to sit here and look sad for a day. So yeah, I'll fucking do whatever you want, dude. You want me to suck that guy's dick? I'll do it. That didn't happen.
I hope you would get scale for that.
Probably get STD for that.
Yeah. So, and there are other challenges, of course, because the camera man, man camera.
Yeah, I think man camera is a better way. The man camera
has to also be a stuntman, a trained stuntman, because he's actually, doing all of this.
It was one guy. Stuff. The whole movie. It was one dude.
I thought there was one other. I think there might were two, but maybe.
Well, the other guy was specifically the dude who did the parkour stuff.
Okay.
The Mr. Slick. Jimmy Slick, I think his name was.
Okay.
Because he had a pretty big scene. He might have been doing more than that, but the only thing I got was that they were the two stuntmen who did that sequence, which was fairly large.
So you have to have a guy who's a trained stunt person who can do all this stuff wearing the gear.
So, and doing parkour, which is not, not every stunt person has like parkour experience.
Right.
And wire experience. There's a ton of wire work. There's a lot of
wire work. And they have to be training. They have to be able to look where you want them to look.
It's true. They had to, and I remember reading about this.
Because if you like look at the wrong way, you're like, oh, I just caught people who aren't supposed to be in the shot.
Yeah, that was not in the movie.
Yeah.
No, I was reading about this before we saw it, and they were saying, that the trick was to like get these guys, the stunt guys, to understand that like not only did they have to do the sequence correctly, they had to then turn around and capture the next sequence as the cameraman.
Right.
And that's a pretty alien concept.
Mm-hmm. But it worked really well.
So well.
The story itself was kind of cheesy. Okay, it was really, it was video game level.
It's so funny.
I'm talking about the story and the plot.
No, I was going to ask you, did this feel like a later Resident Evil? Have you played any of the later Resident Evil games?
I played a little bit of 5, I think.
Yeah. So like around 5 time.
Yeah.
It gets like too predictable, over the top melodrama.
Yeah.
I mean, we all kind of saw where it was going.
And it's I've played games like this where, I've caught up to the boss. This seems awfully early. Oh, no, he's just going to throw you off. And, now I have to go find the boss again.
I need to level up a bit.
Yeah, get some new skills and get some new weapons. And finally, then you get the pre-boss big fight.
Mm-hmm.
And you get through that, and then you have to fight the boss.
But
then there's like maybe another boss after. Oh, I don't know.
Well, there's a coda. There's a coda battle.
Yeah.
I got to put a little button on it. I agree with everything you're saying, and this is a huge credit to them. No matter how much it felt like that, it was still fucking awesome.
It was very fun ride.
That end sequence, like the entire ending, like when you look at it from a production standpoint, the amount of people involved, like that's incredible. And then the very end of that fight was so video game like. I felt like I was watching Final Fantasy VII. And he's like jumping. But it was just like, it was a fully realized real life take on a video game sequence or a video game. And that's actually really, really noteworthy.
And there is one other big, big piece of that movie.
Okay. No, we're not there yet. We're not going there yet. Okay. I want to explore the video game thing a bit.
Okay. All right.
So did you find that to be a detriment? Because yes, you're right.
I didn't think it was really a detriment. It was just, and it was a style. It was like, I recognize this style. I recognize these tropes.
Okay, so you have a bad guy who, you know what? He was completely serviceable.
Yeah.
You know, the actor did a fine job. Like
a super overpowered evil villain.
Yeah, who looks evil.
Yeah.
He had just enough physical weirdness to be like, that guy's bad. And he's got powers.
Yeah.
All right. The way they did the powers, I thought was very cool.
Yeah.
Again, with the wire work and stuff like that. He was altruistically bad, which was completely unbelievable, but he seemed to be having fun, like kind of chewing the scenery.
Mm-hmm.
The victimization level was kind of silly. Like, it felt like there was a couple times where I expected him to have a long mustache and a woman tied on a train track.
Well, he really did, though. I mean, not the mustache, but the...
Everything else.
The woman in peril.
Right. There was. I mean, the woman in peril trope was so...
Yeah.
On the nose.
Yes.
But, again, it's like, you forgive it. And we're going to get to the best part. Don't get me wrong. I just... There is something to be said about taking a video game plot, which is not a compliment.
Not on its face, no.
Not on its face, but putting so much effort and time into the production of it to make it an enjoyable experience. There were times when I genuinely had a grin on my face.
But that's the thing, though. It's an experience.
Exactly. And you have to go and understand
It's like a ride. You know, you would pay money to sit on, to put the VR helmet on and go through this.
Yeah, totally. I think a lot of people get sick. But yes, I personally, who is not prone to that illness, motion sickness, would totally dig that. But I think it's easy to say, oh, it's like a video game. But that it really is not a disservice because they've accomplished something that's never been done before.
Now, the question is, would people who have not played a lot of video games like us have that same reaction?
I think they'd have to go into it with the correct expectations. Okay. Which automatically is a red flag, right?
Yeah.
The minute you say that about anything, it's like, what? Like, our issue with Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Or the new Star Wars, I should say.
If you go into this thinking that this is going to be a fun ride, it's like the video version of a roller coaster or something.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, almost literally.
You're going to be golden.
But if you go into this expecting, like, okay, I've heard this is innovative. This could actually count as an indie, like, art film. Technically, on paper, if you have those kind of expectations that it's going to be high art, you're going to be extremely let down and hate every moment of it. So, yes, it is a movie where the production and the technology and the experience of it far outweigh and trump the plot. But I'm not going to say the acting.
No.
Because of what we're getting to next. But I will say that the story itself is ham-fisted and on the nose and very two-dimensional, and it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
Because of Charlton Copley.
Yes.
Okay, we can go there now.
Yeah. I can't say enough good things about this.
I knew he was in the movie.
Yeah, we knew this. We knew he was in the movie.
We didn't know to what extent he was in the movie.
To what extent and to what...
Degree.
And to what crazy range he gets to play in this movie.
I can only imagine I have walked away from acting without a second thought. But were I Charlton Copley, who is a good actor.
A very good actor.
A very good actor.
Who's been in some good movies and some not so good movies.
Yeah, which happens to a lot of people. But I would bet the actor part of him read the script and said, oh, fucking yes. Give me this role, please.
Yes, this is definitely an actor's role.
Which sounds so strange for this movie. For the movie we've described thus far.
Yeah.
Would you say that he steals the movie?
Oh, yeah.
I actually wouldn't, but okay, so justify. Why do you say would. That?
Because he's...
Dance. Do we want to get... Dance around it as much as he can.
He gets to do so much mm-hmm. and have so many different things to do.
You're doing good.
I can't... He goes nuts. I mean... I can't say this without giving stuff away.
So we're trying. So for everything that is obvious with this movie, there is one thing that one large aspect with Charlton Copley that we kind of didn't see coming. Right? They did a good job of not showing that.
Right.
So we're trying not to ruin it, but give him credit at the same time.
Yeah, I can't say anymore.
Okay. Then it's.
I keep going back and forth with this in my head. I've really been thinking about this, but his role in the his acting in this, I think is very close to being Oscar worthy.
I would agree.
And
with that.
I mean, I don't think that's hyperbolic, and I've been thinking about this a lot.
I agree, and I think I don't think
he would ever be nominated for it.
And that's the Academy's, you know, kind of small-mindedness about things. It comes down to one word, and that word is range.
Yeah.
Charlton Copley exhibits a range in this movie that I don't know if I've ever seen before in a movie. Right? Yes. And we're trying to dance around the specifics therein. When I saw him in District 9, I remember thinking, wow, this guy is legitimately a good actor who understands how to do like something like a toss-off sci-fi movie role and make it real. Because you don't really like him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely true.
And that's actually not easy to do.
He was kind of sympathetic, but not that likable.
Because he was real. Real people can go through shitty things and you'd be like, ah, that sucks, but I don't like you. So I'm getting schadenfreude at the same time as I'm feeling sympathetic. You know what I mean? Like, that is not an easy thing to pull off, especially with a sci-fi movie. And District 9 was a big success. Like, that really...
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. And it's kind of like that in this movie, too.
But, honestly, I wasn't a big fan of District 9.
Okay.
I'm just going to sneak that in there.
All right. I was. I think I've only seen it once. I should probably go back and watch it again. Because the plot was so weak, I thought that, like, I ended up focusing more on the technological stuff. So that's why I say that I don't actually think he stole the movie. But from an acting standpoint, he stole the movie.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. But there were so many times that I was like, how are they pulling this shot off? That I got kind of bogged down in the techniques of it.
And some of the stuff with him, honestly.
Yeah. Well, no. I never, there was, I don't think there was a single moment with him where I was like, how are they pulling this off?
There was one very, very impressive
It's not really
a head scratcher how they did it.
Serenity did something similar, and I read about how they pulled it off, and I thought, oh, okay, gotcha. It's just a simple trick to it. But again, we're not getting into specifics.
Yeah, but it was terribly impressive.
Extremely and enjoyable.
Yes.
Very, very enjoyable to watch Charlotte Copley in this movie. And yes, do I think that he should be nominated at least for an actor? Absolutely. Really?
Because he gets something.
The range he exhibited in this movie, I just don't think anyone's done that range before. It's just, there's no comparison. All right, so I take back, I guess in that way he does steal the movie as a character. It's just that there's so few characters that it's hard to be like, well.
Yeah. The main character is kind of a non-character. He's
the silent protagonist.
He's
you.
He's Link.
Yeah, he's Link. He's Cloud. Although Cloud talks eventually. He's Gordon Freeman. Actually, I'd say he's Gordon Freeman above anything.
Okay.
Because first person, right? Yeah. You get a sense of that there's a body there, but never responds. So this is the Gordon Freeman experience. This is Mirror's Edge, which I've never played. You ever played Mirror's Edge?
No, I haven't. I've seen, you know, videos of it.
I mean, I always assumed it would make even me sick, but now that I've seen Hardcore Henry, I'm starting to wonder. Some people really like it, but I can't say enough about the technology and the production of it. Like, this was not a massive Hollywood studio film either, but the things like Mad Max kind of set a new high, and I thought that this carried the torch to some degree in terms of practical wire effects and just practical effects in general.
Yeah.
But specifically, like, the Hellcats or the Polecats or whatever in Mad Max, that kind of stuff. Like, this reminded me of that a lot. This is in the trailer, so I don't feel like it's a spoiler. But with some camera trickery and a lot of wire work, they had the stuntman jump from a moving van that explodes onto the back of a motorcycle.
Yeah, and that, I think that's in all the trailers.
It's in every trailer, yeah. I've seen at least three.
And if you can actually go on. Oh, yeah, don't do this until you see the movie.
No, don't YouTube
anything.
There's
a lot of stuff on YouTube that shows you how they made it.
Don't do that.
But see the movie first. And definitely go see it.
Yeah, you really should rent it. But they actually did that.
Yeah.
No matter how much safety equipment was involved. And then some of this stuff, there was no safety equipment.
Yeah, there's that one.
There's a sequence,
parkour scene.
There's a multi-actor parkour scene that they used zero safety equipment, and it was shot four times. And he taught, and the podcast we listened to with him before we saw the movie, he talked about that, and he's like, I can't do a South African accent, but he's like, yeah, man, these guys are so crazy. They'd do this thing, this parkour thing, I'm not going to say, and then they'd just be like, yeah, let's do it again. I didn't feel like it was the best way. And he's like, and they did it four times, and I'm just like dying watching them, like terrified. And then didn't one of them say in the behind the scenes stuff, he's like, I'm gonna fucking die for this movie. At one point he had that thought.
Yeah, I think so. Oh.
Yeah, it had a bad Resident Evil villain. It had a silly video game plot. It did a lot of groundbreaking work that we'll see used again.
Yes.
In other movies.
I hope so.
No doubt about that. And Charlton Copley displayed a range that is heretofore, I don't think, has ever been seen before. I don't see how it could be.
So there's that.
So go see Hardcore Henry. Know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
We're rented. I mean, it's not in theaters anymore.
Yeah. Or is it?
Dollar theater? No, probably not. I don't think it is.
Anyway, see it. What else is going on? If you have a Samsung Galaxy Note 7, sorry. I know we touched on that last
that was random.
Last one. That is just that's been on my mind. It's been terrible, terrible for Samsung. So the new Note 7s, the replacement Note 7s, were also exhibiting explosion,
that
blowing up, burning
that,
up.
That's insane. That they are so fucked on this phone that they can't even.
And the news came out today. Everybody's probably already heard it by now, but they just stopped. They're done.
We give up.
Yep, they're done with Note 7s.
I had a.
They're not going to make any more. They're not going to try to, give you a replacement. They're just not going to be a phone you can have anymore.
Get out while the getting's exploding. Yeah, dude, just toss in the towel. It's done. It's a done deal. I saw someone on Facebook, someone I used to work with, has a Note 7, and they were just like, okay, someone help me get my next phone. What do you guys think about the Pixel? They're like, I'm so fucking over this.
Did you tell them to hold out for the V20?
I did. I said, what about the V20?
And he was like, the what?
It's not out yet?
No, I don't think it's out yet.
Oh, I thought they delayed it.
I think it's coming out towards the...
It's supposed to come out at the beginning of this month, I thought.
I thought it was like more towards the end of the month, but I could be wrong.
I thought you said that about the last...
Yeah, I think they moved up the date for the Note 7 or moved back the one for the V20. I don't know, but I think it's the 21st, maybe? What? What's going on?
My friend Jaylen got married?
No. Well, that's news.
What? Okay.
Do you want this in the podcast?
I need to call her about that. Okay. Well, my friend got married.
Your friend that I've met.
Yes.
Jaylen.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's... congratulations, Jaylen.
Yeah. Man, we have not been talking enough, apparently. yeah, the V20. I'm excited for it next year.
Yeah.
But I've got something bigger to save up for.
Okay. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Can wait. And the other tech stuff?
Yeah, the car I'm saving up for.
Oh.
It's
the car. Is it the Volkswagen Sportswagen All-Track?
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
It's the Golf All-Track.
The Golf All-Track.
Yes.
The Golf Sportswagen
All-Track. The original name of it was the Volkswagen Golf Sportwagon All-Track.
And yeah.
Like, we need to drop at least two of these words.
Yeah.
So they went with Volkswagen Golf All-Track.
Okay.
So I'm kind of proud about this because I picked up on this about a year and a half ago in the rumors mm-hmm. of like VW Vortex,
yeah,
TFL car. Like I've been stalking this. So a little background. I would like to buy one new car in my life.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
I'm down with that. I've done that a couple of times.
Well,
I've done it twice. I've done it
financially. We're in different places.
Yeah.
So, and you know, we are actively planning on growing our family once more. We're not there yet, but I would like to get a car with all-wheel drive, you know, ahead of that.
Yes, because we live in Rochester.
Western New York. And you wouldn't know that after this past winter, where it kind of felt like Palm Springs. But I mean, normally I can't run in shorts the entire winter.
So, unlike, say, 70% of the population here, you've decided that you don't want a Subaru Outback.
So let's talk about that. Let's discuss the travesty that is the Outback.
Oh, okay.
All right. I fucking hate the look of Subarus. They make me gag. And wow. I am actually not being hyperbolic. I despise the look of Subarus.
Because it's a very traditional looking old wagony sort of style.
That's bullshit. And I completely disagree with that.
Okay.
The Outback was, and I loved the old Outback.
I am talking about the older one. The new one looks more like an SUV. The new one is moving more toward, had been moving more
it
towards
SUV. It has long since crossed the line to being a crossover. It is no longer a wagon. So whenever someone says it's a wagon, I get very upset.
Okay.
And this is me being my
No, you're right. There's
first
my
world.
I was thinking back a couple of generations.
But that's what, but this is, Mike, this is not uncommon. This is what weirds me the fuck out. Everyone does this, and I feel like I'm the Zoolander thing. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Who the fuck looks in an Outback? Forget the Forester. The Forester is a tank, like the, most.
It's always been.
It's yeah. I mean, it was a square wagon in the very beginning, but
now the Forester is actually built on, has been built on the Impreza chassis. So it's on a smaller chassis than the Outback.
Which is silly, but...
But it's true.
Right, but I mean...
So the Outback is going to be longer.
Well, remember their wider is better, that whole ad campaign?
Yeah.
It's silly to build a car that tall on a small, compact chassis. I think that, physically, that's not smart. But clearly it's not hurting Subaru. So everyone and their mother seems to gravitate towards Subaru.
Yes. It's super popular here.
Yep.
And it's mostly, a couple of reasons. One, they're all wheel drive, which is handy in this area.
Totally agree with that.
Two, they have we have literally one of the best Subaru dealerships.
Like in the country?
In the country is in this area.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll say the name is it's Van Bortel.
Yeah, I think they're celebrated.
They've become very popular for just having really good prices, really good.
Fair business practices.
Yeah, business practice. My wife had a couple of Subarus, and the service she got there was always very, very, very good.
Right.
So they take care of you. They give you a good deal, and that's a lot better than a lot of other places.
I respect that. Mm-hmm. That's the dealer, really. It's not the car.
Yes.
So let me give you my list. Let me explain where I'm coming from here. For me, and this is a mic hang up. I genuinely despise what the Outback has become. Genuinely despise. Do I hate it the way I hate Trump? No, that would be silly. But it's a mammoth misstep in terms of what good car design should be. Not that it's a commercial misstep, but in an aesthetic, I think it's horrific. I think it's a travesty. So I wanted a car that has all-wheel drive, but not all the time.
Okay.
I don't want all-wheel drive all the time. It doesn't make sense to me. I need it when I need it. So I want it there as an option or as something dynamic. I want a car that's fun to drive. I also want to row my own. I want a stick shift and I want six gears.
Okay.
When you get that list of things, it suddenly the field narrows considerably.
Yeah.
Until you get to the row your own, you have some options. Once you get to the 6-speed manual, there isn't any. Even I don't think BMW anymore. I think if they haven't phased out manual, it's very hard.
Yeah, I think there was actually like a Honda that you could have gotten for that.
Not a wagon.
I think maybe not anymore, nope. But.
No, I've researched this for 2 years. Trust me, there's no Honda wagon.
There has been, though.
Yeah, but we're talking
recently, but not recent enough.
What? I don't even know what model you're talking about.
I think it was some sort of Accord wagon. I'm not sure. I don't know.
No. A true wagon is not... You're talking about a hatch. That's like the Subaru hatchback, the Impreza hatch, the 5-door. Which is not a bad looking car, but that's not a true station wagon because here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker. Are you really going to get into the hair splitting difference between wagon and hatchback?
No, I'm going to get into the massive difference, which is how much cargo space you get with the seats up. That's not a hair splitting thing. That's a consideration that I have that's where I lost all options but the Outback. And then once you get the 6-speed, it's gone for the manual. I need a car that I can have two car seats in.
Okay. Child
car seats. And then I don't have a complete lack of cargo space.
Right.
So everyone's like, we'll just fold down. No, you can't fucking fold down seats when you have two child seats. That prevents you from doing that.
Right.
But like no one seems to consider that. So when you look at cubic cargo space without folding the seats down, that takes almost every car on the market out. If it's still fun to drive, all-wheel drive, 6-speed manual... That's it. So literally my options were the Sport Wagon by BMW, which has half the cargo space.
Yeah.
Because it's not really a station wagon.
Yeah.
It's 17.6 cubic feet, which is very small.
That's
essentially the Impreza. There's the hair splitting difference. That is the difference between a extended hatchback and a station wagon is utility.
Okay. I'll give you that.
That I'm talking about anyway. I mean, I'm not going to get into the semantics of it, but
because there are, and it's been debated for years.
if there was a car that was an extended hatchback that had a lot of space with the seat up, that it had all the other shit I would want, it would be more likely to have it, right? Because a compact car is more likely to have the features I want. Then yeah, that I would have considered it, but there isn't it.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I see where you're going.
So, take a step back. So I don't like the look of the Outback. To the point where it's actually a deal breaker for me. But when I looked at the specs, it just doesn't offer what the AllTrak does, which is really cool. So what happened with Volkswagen was, we all know about Dieselgate.
Yes.
But the what people don't really know about is the really toxic relationship they've had with their dealers for a while.
Yeah.
And it extends beyond that because as part of the Dieselgate thing, there was one guy who was in charge of American sales that the dealers loved, and they lost him.
Yes, he was kind of thrown under the bus, even though he probably had nothing to do with any of these decisions.
No, I don't see.
He was really just like the sales and marketing guy for the U.S.
But he was lobbying to bring some of these models like the AllTrak, which has existed in Europe and other countries for several years now.
Yeah.
He was lobbying to bring it over, and the dealers were like, yes, give us something that can fight Subaru. Like, we need this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the leadership of Volkswagen was like, I don't know. So Volkswagen, you know, they looked at the market and they finally said, okay, let's do something that can fight against the Outback. But we're not going to make the Outback. We're not going to make a cheap knockoff. We're not going to make an exact sub. So the AllTrak is smaller.
Yes.
It is on the MQB platform. So, it physically has to be a smaller car.
Yeah. And they're even taking the name from the old, the Audi AllTrak.
Who they make.
Yeah. It's the same.
Because it's all the same company. Auto group. Yeah. And there have been a couple of partsman jokes about the Audi in there.
Which is fine.
Right. That's a great problem to have. It's like, oh, that $70,000 car, there are parts from that in this. oh, really? You just made me want it more. So they're doing the four motion, it's the Haldex dynamic.
Yep, it's four motion, yeah.
It's an all-wheel drive that is 90-10 differential to the front normally, but then when it detects slip, it's the fifth generation, it's pretty good at it from what I've read, detects slippage and it'll shift up to 50-50, so to a full all-wheel drive scenario. That's great to me. I don't need all-wheel drive all the time. I just genuinely don't. 30 cubic feet, so that's about 1 cubic foot less than my wife's crossover that I hate driving. Almost no body roll, which is the biggest problem with the Subarus because they're so tall. When you turn a corner, you feel like you're going to tip over. You don't because of the wheel weight, but that isn't a good feeling. That isn't a fun to drive feeling. And that's a turbo engine with 25 pounds torque more than the Outback.
And probably even more than that, because Volkswagen really tends to sandbag their torque and horsepower measurements, estimations.
Really conservatively?
They're very conservative. The Japanese tend to be more either accurate or even a little bit optimistic. The German companies tend to be very, very conservative when they rate them.
Oh, that's funny. A lot has been said about the Volkswagen's new car app. You know, the whole App Connect.
Eh.
I mean, I just need to get to the point where I can go into my car and have Spotify play without me hooking anything up. That's all I care about. And it supposedly works, so that's a big plus. Heated seats, you know, standard rear view camera. This stuff's pretty standard. There's some fancy amenities, the corner illuminating fog lights I like. But I had a pretty long list, and this hit everything.
Everything.
Panoramic sunroof. Heated front seats. I kind of want like something that circa 10 years ago, you know, that my car doesn't have.
Yeah.
The only things I'm giving up. So the only problem, and to Volkswagen credit, they said the enthusiasts want a 6-speed manual. We're going to do that on and not the lowest trim. And that was big because on the Sportwagon, they only released the manual on the lowest trim and it was a 5-speed.
Right.
So the 6-speed manual, when I drove the GTI, which is not the same engine, but when I drove that 6-speed, I was like, oh, there's a whole other gear to play with. This is so much fun. So I can get the mid-level, which has the enhancements I need, not even want, but I just won't settle for less than. The things I'm giving up are dual climate zone control, which I'm not convinced is anything more than a gimmick.
Yeah, I'm not really clear on. I don't think that's a big deal.
There's no wall, so
right.
How does it work?
You're getting a little bit different temperature air blowing on the
individual. Yeah, exactly. It's what air is blowing on you. That's it.
But if you can both agree on what temperature you think the inside should be,
which people have been doing for a pretty long time,
you'll be okay. Yeah.
And the one thing I really regret is that the seats are nicer on the highest level trim. They're like 12 direction, all powered. And I've heard they're like that a little more comfortable, but I'll deal. Volkswagen's got really comfortable front seats.
Yeah. I say that having had a couple of Volkswagens.
So I'm excited. I dig them.
The lumbar support is key.
It really is. it's really nice. It's really nice. Good in the Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Erica had huge lumbar issues with her car, but I think she had her seat too forward. Because I was sitting in, I'm like, no human being should be sitting like as forward as you are. So yeah. I put it back.
But there's no lumbar adjustment in that, is there?
No, there is.
Oh, there is. Okay.
But when she was sitting forward, it was hitting like mid-back.
Oh.
It's like, that's not your lumbar, that's your spine.
Yeah.
Like, that hurts. But when I put the seat back, it readjusted. Even though I'm short, I'm like, oh, yeah, I think you just need to sit back more. But I don't know if she did it or not.
But what? She drives like 5 miles a year, so.
No, that's me. No, she drives a lot.
Really?
Yeah, she's going places with him all the time.
Okay. Yeah. I thought,
So anyway, increased ride height, everything that's good about Volkswagen, and all the reviewers, like there have been very few negative reviews. They did a big press junket where they had like 40 or 50 people drive it. And everyone's like, it actually handles really well off-road, but we know no one's going to take it off-road. But they're like, based on what we saw, it's fun. It comes with tons of amenities. And a lot of people actually, a lot of reviewers recommended the base model. They're like, this comes with so much at the base level. There's like really not as much of a need to go up to the next one. It just happens to have stuff I want.
I know you don't want to hear this, but to counter that, I always recommend against getting a car in its first model year, because it's the first production year of it, and maybe not for this market.
Mm-hmm. No, well, for this market.
For this market, yes, but not for the car in general. So that's a little bit better.
What about a second release of a model that's been released in other markets?
That's better.
Because
if it's the same drivetrain, the same engine, especially.
It's not the same drivetrain because the manual is getting released about 6 months later.
Okay.
So and I knew you were going to say that because you've said it before.
Yeah.
And it's a legitimate concern. But the way I see it, a lot of the kinks will have been worked out by the time the manual comes out. So anything that's intrinsic to the car platform itself should be addressed. Am I taking a risk on buying a 6-speed manual that's the first of that model type in America? Yeah, I recognize that.
If it's a transmission that's well in use, that could kind of offset too. And it probably, I don't know what this transmission is, but if it's, I'm guessing it's one from their bin.
No, it's the same transmission that's an Emmy Golf.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the exact same, except for the Sport Wagon, only because it's got extra gear. So it's a 6-speed manual.
Okay, well, it's not the same transmission then.
It's a 6-speed manual versus a 5-speed manual. So yeah, I guess the automatic is the same, but the manual wouldn't be.
Right. Well, we can get more nerdy and detailed off podcast.
Yeah.
I think we're getting into pretty...
car gear, gearhead centric.
Yeah. People are
well, I'm excited. Yeah. I'm pretty... I actually will probably test drive an Outback just to confirm what I read.
Mm-hmm.
Overwhelmingly read. But yeah, I'm excited. And yeah, I know that I've definitely heard both sides of buying a new car. I know it doesn't always make sense, but at the same time, it's like, I want to do it once. I may regret it, but I really think I'm going to like this car. So
that's cool. It's a good deal.
I don't know how you do that.
Well, it's a manual. That'll help.
Yeah. That knocks $1,100 off.
Yeah.
I already know all the pricing.
It also is going to be something that's not going to be as popular. So it's more, if you can wait a little while, and this is just general car buying advice, if you know a car has been sitting on a dealer's lot, either new or used.
I'm not playing that game. I have specific internal interior color, exterior color.
So you want to actually place an order.
I'm getting the car I want, and I will pay a premium for it. I don't care.
Okay. You don't necessarily have to pay a premium for it. That's another kind of misconception, and don't let the dealers jerk you around on this.
Okay.
Because if they can sell you a custom car, that's also really good for them.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Because they know when they order that, you're buying it.
Right.
And it's not going to sit on their lot. It's that's a pure profit car for them.
I have a set amount that I'm willing to spend. And the nice thing is I have a Volkswagen dealership 10 minutes from where I live,
mm-hmm.
and another one 25 minutes from where I live. I have no problem playing that game. I bought one from the other dealer last time. I was going to go to the closer one where I get my maintenance done.
Right.
But yeah.
All right. So good. Cool.
I'm excited. 2 years of research. I still have 8 months I have to wait for the car I want to actually exist in America, which it doesn't. But it'll be worth it, damn it.
Good for you.
Thanks. Your birthday's this weekend.
It is. It is. And strange things are afoot from what I understand.
Mel hasn't ruined anything, has she?
No.
Okay, good.
I know we're going to Sonic.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a throwback for me.
We're doing what you want to do.
Yeah, well, I grew up going to Sonic. Sonics are new in this area. They just came into the area maybe like 2 years ago at the earliest.
Yeah, the one in Henrietta or Greece.
Greece,
Irondequoit.
And I'd been going to Sonic. I remember going to Sonics when I was a little kid. And this is when I was living in Arkansas.
Okay.
They're, I think, more popular in the South.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons, because it's set up as a big drive-through thing. Mm-hmm. Or not really a drive-through.
Drive-in.
A drive-up, a drive-in.
Yeah.
And if you've been to any of the ones here, you've seen it. There are all these little, like, stations that you pull into, mm-hmm. and there's this, like, a big screen there, and you push a button, and somebody comes on, you place the order. It's probably a lot more technologically advanced now than when it was when I remember
going. The Sonics there. I've been to that are close by aren't.
No, it's still just the same. You know,
it's like push a button, bad somebody speaker, comes on. You can barely understand what's happening.
Okay, well, I guess some things never change.
You know, they've really preserved that that experience.
and I remember they really did have the waitresses, which was almost mostly waitresses. They had probably like one or two men, but mostly women, with roller skates on.
And yeah, I don't think they have that anymore.
Probably not. Yeah. There's probably a little bit of a liability.
Yeah, now. That's a liability issue. Carrying food with wheels on your feet.
But yeah, I remember that. And that was it was cool. It was a fun experience.
Yeah, no, it was an experience.
And they hooked the tray onto the window of the car and mm-hmm. you would just eat right there in your car.
Does not sound great at all.
No, it doesn't sound great as an adult. It sounds terrible as an adult.
Yeah, as a kid, you're like, oh, this is great. I mean, I'm eating in the car. This is awesome.
but no. And I remember I would get the Frito pie, which is not really a pie. That's what it was called, though.
They still have that?
It's like, I don't know. I don't know if they have it or not. They have it at some Sonics, but they have like regional differences now.
Oh, really?
So I would get the Frito pie, which is basically like a early version of nachos. it's a bunch of Frito chips.
Okay.
And then they would just put some cheese sauce and some chili on them.
Sounds good.
And there
to
you
me.
Go. You've got nachos made of Fritos. But this is before nachos were really a thing.
Apparently, it's on the secret menu.
Ah, the secret menu.
Yeah.
And the other thing I got all the time was the foot-long chili cheese hot dog.
They definitely still have that.
Awesome.
Because someone I was
that is what I am going to get.
Yeah, that's an intimidating sight.
Oh yeah. I've been thinking about this for weeks now. Wanting that's the Frito pie, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wanting a chili cheese hot dog. Knowing that the cheese and the chili are not, you know, premium quality.
Right. Yeah.
I don't care.
But you're not going to Sonic for premium.
No,
anything.
You're not. I am damn sure gonna get a milkshake.
Sure, of course.
Because they have lots of different flavors, and the last time I went to a Sonic was, I don't think I got a shake the last time. I got a shake at a Sonic was way, way back when I was living in Nashville, Tennessee.
How long ago was that?
That would have been the 90s.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Simpler time.
Yeah, simpler times.
More innocent.
And I remember getting pineapple milkshakes.
Wow. Yeah, they have a ton of milkshakes, right?
They do. They have a crazy amount of
milkshake flavors. I remember the milkshake menu. Because there's one on the way to Baltimore.
I can't ever remember the last time I got a milkshake. The last time I got something that was even remotely close was at that place, Jürgenfruß. Jürgenfruß. Jürgenfruß.
Oh, with kale in it? Yeah.
Yes, with kale in it.
If you're getting kale, it's not a milkshake. I'm sorry.
It was very tasty, though.
That's great. And it's healthy, too. I had a really funny meltdown with Simon at Jürgenfruß a couple weeks ago when Erica was gone. Anyway.
Come on.
So we went there and I was like, hey, you want some ice cream? And he was no nap Simon.
Yeah.
And I was pushing pushing the 4 p.m. ish time where that no nap starts to show, because you can get away with it up till 2 or 3. And so he's like, yeah. So we were walking around the mall and I went to Yogurt Fruits and I was like, well, crap, what am I going to get that he's not going to complain about the texture? I was like, I'll get banana. Who the fuck doesn't like banana frozen yogurt, you know, with sprinkles on it?
No Nap Simon.
No Nap Simon is correct. I got rainbow sprinkles. He was all excited. It looked delicious. I'm going to admit it didn't taste great.
Yeah.
But he flipped out. And now this is his new, that's when this new thing was kind of starting a couple of weeks ago. So his like, he's testing boundaries, but in ridiculous ways that are almost laughable. So like what he does when he has a nap is he can't remember what he's complaining about. He'll take a stance and he won't remember what that stance is. So I sat there.
He's like an angry old man.
Yeah, sure. So he was like, I don't want this. And I was like, do you want me to throw it away? He's like, don't throw it away. And I'm like, do you want to eat it? And he goes, I don't want it. And I'm like, do you want me to throw it away? And he goes, don't throw it away. And I'm just like, what the fuck do you want? We got stuck in this feedback loop. And like everyone's staring at us. And I'm like, I'm all right. And I just threw it away because he wasn't eating it. And I wasn't going to eat it in front of him. And then he got mad at me for throwing it away. And just I had to like practically drag him out of the mall, like in hysterics. And it was like, I was kind of laughing because I'm like, this is so, there's no logic. There's no rational thinking here at all.
So glad you can laugh at some of these things.
Michael Shetliff.
Because you would be insane otherwise.
Without a sense of humor, we'd all throw ourselves off the Brooklyn Bridge. It's like, he genuinely frustrates me at times. And I'm like, I don't know how to impress upon you, like what you're doing is wrong. Like, I'm not going to smack you. So how do I get you to understand that that is a wrong thing you were doing right now? And the stern voice only works so much. But yeah, there are times when Eric and I, like, especially it's definitely easier when we're together. Because if we can share that moment together, we're like, this is dumb, right? And yeah, it is.
We did see the moment with the freeze pop thing, the frozen pop that fell off the stick.
Oh yeah. Oh, God forbid something breaks or like if something loses its original state. Like God forbid you cut a grilled cheese sandwich in half and you try to give it to him. Eric had to. So yes, that was a tragedy. Because the ice pop that is not on the stick, in his mind, is a chemically, physically, biologically different thing than it was on the stick. Its contact with wood somehow intrinsically changed the very nature of its molecular compound. And it was delicious when it was in contact with a wooden stick. But once it's off that wooden stick, that thing is, we are feeding our kid poison at that point, if you asked him.
If he could have, if only he could have called Child Protective Services.
I would love, if he somehow were that smart, I would love to see the CPS reports they were checking us out for. So your parents abused you because you lost.
I was eating a popsicle.
Okay.
And oh God, you're making me relive it now. I'm sorry, sir.
I'm sorry. We need this for our report.
Oh my God.
What did your parents do, sir?
It wasn't so much what they did.
Okay.
Okay. This is what happened.
What did they not do?
This is what I had to go through.
Tell me, and I'm going
to
make a report.
The popsicle I was eating.
Okay. I'm here for you, sir. It's okay.
It fell off a stick.
And?
It fell off the stick. It fell off the stick.
Do you know how hard it is for me to say this?
It was on the stick.
I'm impressed that you're talking this well as a two-year-old initially anyway, but...
And then I look down, and it's not on the stick anymore. It's not on the stick.
Did your parents not give it back to you?
Well, no, it was right there in the bowl that was right under me.
There was a bowl?
Yeah, it fell off the stick and into the bowl in front of me.
I'm laughing now, just remembering this. So, okay. I apologize.
You're laughing at me.
I'm a government employee,
it's
so
very
maybe
funny. I'm glad that my personal tragedy is a source of amusement to you.
I'm not quite understanding to the point of being able to document where the tragedy in this is. So the ice pop fell off of the stick into a bowl that your parents provided for that exact purpose.
Yeah, and then they tried to give me a spoon.
They didn't.
Do you know how that made me feel? Them giving me, here's a spoon. You can now try to eat this thing that used to be on a stick with a spoon.
Did you eat it with a spoon?
No.
Why not?
Because it was a spoon!
Did you try putting the spoon handle back into the ice pop like it was the stick?
What the hell? Who does that? Is it a wooden spoon? No.
This is called being a parent. So, thank you. That was a nice way to relive that in a non-traumatic way. The other day, Erica went out with her mom and Simon to lunch, and they cut his grilled cheese in half, like every place on the planet does. And it was such a problem for him that he only ate it by her holding the other half up against it the entire time. God. She's like, yeah, he ate it because I convinced him I'd put it back together. But for me to do that, I had to physically hold it in contact with the half he was eating until we got past that point.
Oh, it won't last forever. I mean,
no,
he'll find other ways to frustrate you.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I'm equipped for a lot of those ways. It's this I'm all set for the why. I'm all set for that. I will play that game all day long, man. I will dive down those fucking rabbit holes. I am built for that shit. And if he wants to do contests of strength, I'm a wiry motherfucker. I'm down for that shit, too. He wants to try shoving me around? I can't wait for that shit when I throw him over my shoulder. But this, irrational, insane, over-the-top hysterical reaction to just the most innocuous things is like, what do you want me to do, dude? Like, you're the architect of your own destruction here. I don't know what to tell you. But no, he's a three-nager. And thank God Eric had read about this, because I would have not known what the fuck was going on. But I guess, especially with kids that are fairly well-behaved when they're really young.
Mm-hmm. I'd never heard this before.
I had neither.
Three-nager.
Okay. But the idea is so you may be surprised as your child approaches three, because they're, for very well-behaved children, because he was. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, he's a really fucking good kid.
Did some eating problems, but that's not...
But that's not behavioral and acting out, throwing tantrums kind of way. Mm-hmm. But they're like, you may be surprised because your child may all of a sudden be acting like a moody, shitty-ass fucking 15-year-old. Hence, three-nager. Not shitty-ass he is potty training, so yes. Shitty-ass in that way, too.
From what I
basically, my son's a douchebag, is kind of what I'm saying. Just temporarily. And the Louis C.K.
He's being a bag of dicks.
He's being a very Louis C.K. I love my kid, but he's a bag of dicks right now. But yeah, he's it's so clearly... Like, just testing boundaries in the metaphysical sense, and then there's my son running up to things and physically pounding on the boundaries, being like, I'm going to see how far they go by being a dick. So, yeah, that's where we're at right now. So he, turns on the waterworks every time. So we'll let him watch a nice, child-friendly, Monsters, Inc. He loves Monsters, Inc.
Mm-hmm.
Loves Frozen. So we'll say, okay, we're going to watch this, and then when it ends, you're going to turn it off. And he would think that's not really something you can misinterpret. But the minute the movie ends, he knows we're going to turn off. Like, okay, say goodbye to the movie. It's over. Wasn't that fun? And he just fucking hits the roof. And it's like, dude, what? We clearly told you. I stood in front of you, locked eyes with you, and said, when the movie ends, I'm turning the TV off. What about that are you crying about?
Why did you make the movie end, Dad?
Because I'm a shitty dad. What the hell? I don't know. Because I didn't fucking fund Hollywood to make a five-hour movie.
Why do you hate me? Why do you hate me? Why do you hate me?
That's an easy one. You're gonna tire yourself out. I'll just sit quietly and smile. I don't know. Why do you think I hate you? You tell me.
Because you're evil and you're mean.
What? Why do you think I'm evil? What do you think in my background led me to be evil, son? I mean, you tell me. Got to get through this.
Metaphysical conversations with your son are going to be fantastic.
I cannot fucking wait. I'm so excited. He has such zany theories on stuff anyway. But yeah, he's just in a really shitty phase. So we've been kind of spoiled. But he's still great in public. So I asked his daycare provider, I'm like, has he been tantrum-y or I just listed, and she's like, no. Like, acting like I'm insane. I'm like, okay, because he's doing all of these things to his mother and I. And she's like, oh, okay. He did magically wet his pants without wetting his diaper the other day. She was really mystified.
Whoa.
By that. Yeah, she's like, I have no idea what happened. He did it twice. She's like, I don't know if I put the diaper on wrong. I'm like, you didn't put the diaper on twice. My son clearly figured out how to aim. And she like didn't understand what I meant. And I'm like, yeah, he's obviously aiming outside of the diaper. And she's like, what? And I'm like, there's really no other way that the diaper stays dry and the pants get pee on.
Yeah.
There's only one way that's happening if you're a boy.
Yes.
And that my boy's got it.
He's got it down.
Because I know for a fact he can aim because as of about 4 days ago, he always pees on the floor now. On the potty. I'm like, he had this down for weeks. And it's like, oh, interesting. All of a sudden, you're missing the toilet every time. Yeah, that's an accident. Parenting. That's called parenting.
And we're called Buddies in Space.
And you are?
Called S. Michael Smith. And you are?
Called M. Michael Carassi.
Or Dad.
Or Late for Dinner.
Or I Hate You.
Oh, you're supposed to admonish me for my rediscovery of Papa John's. Do you have anything to say about that? Do you want to say it on the air?
Everything comes out of a bag. It's awful.
Not tasting, though.
Yeah. Okay, I haven't had Papa John's in like, decades.
You put enough garlic butter shit on there, and it all tastes great.
You know I worked there for
a
year or so.
Yeah. You saw the sausages made.
That's enough. No. No, I saw the sausages pulled out of a bag.
It's a term of speech. It's a phrase, Mike.
I worked at a better pizza place, a good pizza place when I was, before that.
Yeah.
And we did make our own sausage, but not at Papa John's. They don't make their sausage.
They pull it
out of a bag, and that's wrong. Smike. Any way you slice it.
I'm not even gonna.
Good. Let's do this.
Respond to that. When I wrote a Papa John's, there's a very specific part of my brain that wants to be lit up. And that is the caveman brain that wants a shit ton of fat and hot dough in its mouth.
Just get Little Caesars, okay?
I live in Fairport, New York. Where the fuck am I getting a Little Caesars delivered to me at 11 o'clock at night?
I don't know.
I can't. That's the answer. I can't, Smike. There's only one option, and it's Papa John's. That's the problem. Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books. Check out the Jason Clam story. Check out the Jason Clam story. Looking forward 2020/2016. Wrapping up in just a month. Around the same time as a certain election. Because it's about an election.
Will Mr. Broda be surviving?
You'll have to tune in and find out. I did post. Not only did I actually find and inserted the clip of Schumacher apologizing. Remember we talked about that for Batman?
Yeah.
I found it and put it in the last podcast. even though I said I was going to be lazy and not do it. not only did I do that, but I did actually post on the Buddies in Space page. So there is a sequential vlog by vlog posting channel on YouTube. It's there. So if you actually want to figure out what the fuck is going on in mine, you can watch everything.
Wow.
But keep in mind that it's a movie. It's a movie made up of 14 stories that are with 14 different sets of actors. It's an investment, is my point.
All right.
But
still not as much of an investment. Why is that hard to say?
Try it again.
Still not as much of an investment.
How much did you drink? Oh wait, I've made you drink. Much. I know how much you drank.
As what's the bees one?
Oh, I heard Slenderman. Oh, Marble Hornets.
Marble Hornets. That's right.
No, and that's just, man. I assume it's still going, but it's just stopping good. Like, it was genuinely kind of creepy for a while, and then it was like, guys, just you're a couple of punk kids. Stop making these. You don't know what's going on. You've gone to lost territory now. Broda, will he be surviving? Probably. Maybe not. Maybe.
Will he live to mix another day?
Maybe he's drinking his own urine killed him.
Oh my God.
He might have. I mean, I'm alive, but he might not be. We're two different people. This is getting weird metaphysical.
This is really, yeah, it is.
All right.
But check it out.
Check it out. The Broda.
Broda Saga.
Broda Saga. Sounds like a Japanese role-playing game. Broda Saga!
I'd play that.
Yeah, you totally would. You know you would. If it was grinding, totally fucking do it.
And Japanese.
How's No Man's Sky?